The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this evening to the doctrine and importance of Bible doctrine, we'll pick up Roman numeral 5, page 4 of our notes. Turn to Job 28 if you'd like. All right, again, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to deal with your sin nature if you've not already done so, to make sure that you're in the filling of God the Holy Spirit, employing the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9 is necessary, and to maintain and sustain that state of spirituality through the next hour so that we can, once again this evening, profit from the study of Bible doctrine, from study of God's Word, undistorted by the sin nature, and have a clear read, and otherwise, maximum opportunity to serve God and function in action with honor. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your plan. We thank you for all the grace that is attached to it and underwrites every aspect of it. We thank you for the grace you provided once again this evening for us as believers in this geographical region to come together to study the truth of your word so that we can advance ourselves spiritually and otherwise maximize an application in regards to your plan in our lives, and that God the Holy Spirit will once again enlighten us to the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Once again, and the very fact that the importance of Bible doctrine cannot be overstated is made very clear in regards to the Scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament. There are Old Testament believers, positive volition believers that we would consider to be exceptional, great believers in regards to their own lives. They recognized and attested to the importance of Bible doctrine in their own lives. And that is the subject of Roman numeral 5, page 4 of our notes. The great believers of the Old Testament paid tribute or honor to the importance of Bible doctrine. To begin with, as example, a Job understood this issue. Job 28 is a chapter in regards to his book that brings out how he recognizes the importance of doctrine. Just read it for our edification here. Verse 1, surely there is a mine or source for silver, and a place where they refine gold, two very precious metals recognized by men throughout history. Iron is taken from the dust, and from rock, copper is smelted. The hard work, etc., and effort that goes in regards to extracting these minerals from the earth. Three, man puts an end to darkness, and to the furthest limit, he searches out the extent of exercise of energy, etc., in their lives to figure things out, etc. The rock and gloom and deep shadow, looking at mines and how these things are often extracted from the planet, these metals. For he sinks a shaft far from a habitation, forgotten by the foot, very dangerous setting, as any miner will tell you who's worked in the mines, no matter what mine, kind of mine it is. They hang and swing to and fro far from men. The earth, from it comes food, and underneath it is turned up as fire. Six, its rocks are the source of sapphires, and its dust contains gold. The path no bird of prey knows, nor has the falcon's eye caught sight of it, buried deep underneath the crust of our planet. The proud beasts have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the base. He hews out channels through the rocks, and his eye sees anything precious. as these individuals are trained to recognize. The normal person, layman, often would not recognize a precious metal that's embedded in the rock or dust, whereas the trained eye can immediately spot these things, gold dust, etc., certain stones of value. And this is something that obviously they are pursuing at all costs to attain to possession of. In verse 11, he dams up the streams from flowing, and what is hidden he brings out to the light so that he can wash it out and let the heavy metal sink to the bottom with the rest of the dirt floating away. Verse 12, and now he takes that and he puts it in contrast. They're looking at the efforts of men to seek out what they consider to be valuable physically to those things that are valuable spiritually, the things that have far more value and far more impact as it impacts one's eternal life along with the temporal life. Verse 12, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. All these programs they got on now in regards to looking for gold, gold miners, looking in the Bering Sea, they'll go in and risk their lives, necks and limbs in regards to getting these heavy waters, extreme hostile environments, just to find a few nuggets of gold, you know, to hit that millionaire status in regards to their lives. You won't find wisdom there. All these efforts, all these places, and time, energy of the flesh that men put in regards to extraction of these things. And verse 15, pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it. The value of this wisdom that is being spoken of by Job, it far exceeds anything physically of value that man may place value on. Nor can silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, which that type of gold in the Bible is seen to be extremely valuable, very pure, and precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and death say, with our ears, we have heard a report of it. Verse 23, God understands its way and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and he sees everything under the heavens. And when he imparts weight to the wind, the force, and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He also established it and also searched it out. To man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. That encapsulates the very definition of wisdom. That's where you find it, from God. See? And to depart from evil is understanding, denoting the requisite of dealing with the sin nature, sin of life, etc., human viewpoint, in order for one to attain to this thing that is more valuable than anything man can otherwise attain to in this life or possess. So here in regards to this particular chapter, to summarize it, one, Job contrasts mankind's efforts to exploit earth's hidden resources with their neglect of doctrine. Obviously, these things in and of themselves are not evil. It's not sinful to own gold or to go out and make money, etc. But when it is at the expense of doctrine, when one pursues that over their own spiritual advance, their own Christian life, then you have a whole nother ball game, a whole nother issue. Two, he details the lengths to which men will go for something they perceive to be of value. That's verses 3, 4, and verses 9 through 11. 3, physical wealth cannot procure Bible doctrine. That was verses 15 and 17 through 17. 4, God alone is his source. It is a manna from above. Verses 23 through 27. 5, positive volition, which is the phrase, fear of the Lord. Who fears the Lord? Those who are seeking God and recognize and are willing to do the will of God in their own lives. Hence, they are positive. So positive volition is the beginning of wisdom. So that's verses 23 through 28. So Job recognized quite clearly that wisdom is going to be out of reach of anyone who does not otherwise choose to seek God and to understand God and line themselves up with God's thinking otherwise, and to do it according to divine design in regards to apprehension of the truth. So Job understands it. B, Moses, in his parting address to Israel, made it clear that attitude towards doctrine determined both national and personal blessing. Deuteronomy 28. Doctrine was not forced on the Jews to be God's representative, and minister of his plan was not forced upon them. It was a choice that was laid out to them. And they had the choice: either you can take it and embrace it, God's plan, the law, etc., as it's expressed in law, and be blessed by me, or you're free to not do so and just go on your own way. The Jews, under their own volition, obviously the blessing appealed to them over any cursing. And they said, oh yeah, give us the doctrine. That's what we want. We want the law. And while people may make noise and give lip service regards to wanting doctrine, that to deal with it on a superficial level does not appeal to God at all. And it does not remove you in regards to your culpability to God to flirt with doctrine otherwise. And God will ultimately call us all to task in regards to our attitude towards doctrine and obedience to it. And we either will fall under the blessing or cursing side, just as the Exodus was told that would happen to them. And verse chapter 28, and we'll read this chapter again. To read the scriptures is edifying when it's understood within its proper context and within the doctrine. Moses begins to lay out for the Jews, for the Hebrews, what is required of them. And the irony is, out of this entire chapter of some almost 70 verses, only 15 verses relate to the blessing. The rest of it is cursing and warning in regards to rejecting God's plan otherwise. Verse 1, now it shall be, if that's your condition. The blessing was conditional in regards to their lining up to doctrine. This is them as a believing nation. If you will diligently obey the Lord your God, not half-heartedly, not when you feel like it, but diligently, you take doctrine serious and you try to line up to it and implement it as your lifestyle, as that which governs you and what you think, say, and do. And to be obedient to God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. The blessing that is placed upon Israel is extreme exaltation as a nation over the other nations of this planet, if they'll line up and do God's will as a nation. And all these blessings, verse 2, will come upon you and overtake you. You won't be able to run fast enough to miss the blessings. It will overtake you. It will pursue you. God will pursue you in your obedience to Bible doctrine with blessing. If you will obey the Lord your God, that's your caveat. You've got to line up and be obedient to God. To be obedient to God. And the blessing will be in all aspects of one's life here, obviously, on a national scale. Three, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Whether you're a urban or suburban livelihood and residence, it doesn't make any difference. You just do what you're supposed to do, and God will bless you in your geography and where you choose to live within the nation. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground. Having kids, which is considered to be a big blessing in the old days. Hard to think of it sometimes today, how people perceive it, but many still recognize it. And the produce of your ground looks at the agricultural success that they will have, plenty of food to eat, all these things, the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock, as these things are a measure of wealth back in the time of writing. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, what you put on the table, what you fix up for supper. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. And all things that you put your hands to, when you're lined up with doctrine, God is pursuing you in regards to seeking to bestow upon you a blessing in your life and all that you do. And that is not just, you know, the things that we would put as exceptional that we want in life, but in everything. Like fixing dinner. Yeah. You're a wife. It's your responsibility to cook dinner for the old man and the kids. Pray about it. Ask God to bless you. To bless your culinary skills. You know, and that the food is stretched out and feeds everybody satisfactorily. Satiates the appetite and all these other things. Or do you just jump in there and slap it together and hope it comes out all right? And not to put all your confidence in your own expertise, recognizing that God is still in these things, every little thing. That's the problem with a lot of believers. They only look at God for the big things in life. Every little thing, every minor detail, they don't even give Him a thought. They just go on their way. Well, I guarantee you, God can trip you up in so many different ways and little things, it's not even funny. And then you go, oh yeah, I didn't pray about this, see. But to be blessed, to line up with doctrine. And all that you do, when you go in, come in, or when you go out, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. The protection, the military protection placed upon Israel in their obedience to doctrine. And they would be tested. These areas now doesn't mean they won't be tested in these areas, but God will bless them in spite of the testing. Is the idea. They shall come out against you one way, and they shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing upon you in your barns and all that you put your hand to, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. A land of promise. The real estate. That God holds dear to His life, real estate on this planet, has a special interest to God. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. Looking at the fact that they set themselves apart because they line up with God's Word, as He swore to you, if you will keep the commandments. Again, the caveat is thrown out as a reminder of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Denoting our matter and conduct of life. So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. In that state, other hostile nations will think twice before they do anything to you or your citizens. Kind of used to be that way about our country. Not much anymore. You go to a foreign country today, you're on your own. I remember back when, in the 50s and 60s, there was still that reputation that if you jack with a U.S. citizen in a foreign country, understand our country will come down on you. But that's all gone away. Why? Because you got the New World Order. We're mixing everybody in on the mix on this now. See? We might help you, or we'll just send in the UN to help you. Oh, well, thanks a lot. Those guys are about as worthless as a, you know what, on a boar hog. Yeah, I said it. I said that, but I didn't say what I was going to say. Anyway, to be afraid of you, and the Lord will make you abound. Now they're just pissed at us. Fear is gone. They're just pissed at us. See, make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, in the offspring of your beasts, in the produce of your ground. You'll be the example, see, to the other nations in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its seasons, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Whoa. Oh, we're just a totally complete opposite of that. See. We used to be an exporting nation. Now we're an importing nation. And you can thank the great merchants for that. See. As well as the political charlatans that we have in office over the years. God's behind the weather. He'll bless the weather so that your agriculture has maximum production in that regard. The Lord shall make you the head, not the tail. The head, not the ass, see? And you shall only, and you only shall be above. And you shall not be underneath. You'll have the best positions in regards to other nations around you. In regards to all aspects of national livelihood. If you will, listen to the commandments of the Lord your God. First you've got to hear it. But then you've got to do it. Which I charge you today to observe them carefully. And that means you don't get cute with it. You don't add to it. You don't reject any of it. You take it for exactly what it states and what it says. And that's verse 14, the admonition there. And do not turn away, turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. That's a pretty powerful verse. You take off, you start distorting doctrine, either by adding to it or taking away from it, you'll ultimately find yourself going after other gods. You'll find yourself with a different object of worship, even though you still may call him God or Jesus. When you mess with the perfect balance and justice of Bible doctrine, you throw it off balance and you involve yourself in religiosity, which we are inundated with today. Around us, with all of them waving the Christian banner otherwise, in regards to the Christian circles. So that's your blessing verses. But then comes the warning of national cursing, and that is based on negative volition and going into reversionism nationally. But it shall come about, verse 15, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Curse you will be in the city, and curse you will be in the country. The very opposite of being blessed. God is going to jam you, frustrate you in the things that you do. That principle is a hard one for a lot of believers to get over, that God will intercede and trip somebody up and frustrate them and jam them, even believers, if they get out of line and out of sorts under divine discipline, as well as the unbelieving cursing for the unbelievers. Curse shall be in your basket and your kneading bowl. Curse shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground. Doesn't take much. You don't have to be even all that honest to look and evaluate our country with these verses today. of the change that has happened in the last half century, especially. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body, verse 18, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. In other words, God's going to be after you. When you see God cursing you, that means you're on the bad side of God. You're on the wrong side. And He's waiting to extract judgment. He place it upon your person and extract the justice from it for disobeying Him. The Lord will send upon you curses, verse 20, confusion and rebuke. And all you undertake to do, the chaos that will be around them in regards to seeking to operate as a nation, as a peoples, until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly. That looks at the sin of death as the ultimate result for failure to otherwise make reversion recovery. On account of the evil of your works, because you have forsaken me. To forsake God is to forsake Bible doctrine. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until He has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption, and that's bad health, and with fever, with inflammation, and with fiery heat, and with a sword, with a blight, with mildew, and it shall pursue you until you perish. The things that make life miserable, and ultimately taking a toll even on one's health. Because as we know, certain molds can kill you if it's not taken care of, etc. And the heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, looking at the drought that will come upon their agricultural livelihood. And the earth which is under you, iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. All these things will be a matter of the judgments that come upon them on their way to the fifth cycle of discipline and being kicked out of the land. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way before them, but you shall flee seven ways before them. And you shall be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your carcasses will be food to all birds of the sky and to the beasts of the earth. And there shall be no one to frighten them away. The carrion birds, things of this nature. Then the Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors and with the scab and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. Again, cursing the health, divine discipline of the people in that aspect, in the body. Much of God's judgment is towards the body experientially in regards to sins and disobedience. And obviously, you wake up and there's a new disease and new day around here in regards to our country anymore. The Lord will smite you with madness, with blindness, and with bewilderment of heart. The mental health of people going berserk, shooting people, innocent people for no reason, things of this nature. And you shall grope at noon as a blind man gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. You'll look for all kinds of remedies. Governments pass this laws, special interest groups will suggest this, do this, blah, blah, blah. But it's not going to take care of the problem. And all you're doing is grabbing for straws because you're rejecting the primary principle of why you're in this condition that you're in. You're negative and you're rejecting the moral and ethical dictates of doctrine. And you shall not prosper in your ways, verse 29, continuing. But you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. It's called the IRS. 30, you shall betroth a wife, but another man shall violate her.
You shall build a house, but you shall not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not use its fruit. All the confusion, all the legal things and other aspects because of that which is promoted and sponsored within a society that is more morally bankrupt and going that direction. Just takes the normal things of life that are generally considered to be reasonable and logical conclusions and tripping all these things up. So you're messing them up. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey will be torn away from you, and he shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall not have none to save you. Used to be in this country, you could actually own land. Now nobody owns land. Only the government owns the land. If you pay taxes on it, they own it. So, that was an evil that was passed through our legislature several years ago. Taxing the land, your real estate. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, verse 31, and you shall have none to save you, verse 32. Your sons and your daughters will be given to another people, while your eyes shall look on and yearn for them continually, but there shall be nothing you can do. And that in regards to warfare and events of warfare and plundering and enslavement of others. The people whom you do not know shall eat at the produce of your ground. People over here starving, but heck, we'll send half our wheat over to Russia. Feed them. Feed your enemy. Let your own people starve. Good grief. People whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground, all your labors. Verse 33, and you shall never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. You shall be driven mad by the sign of what you see. And you see a lot of people that almost look that frustrated over these things. All these survivalists that you have. These are just people reacting to the reality of things that are going on around in this country. They don't have doctrine, generally speaking. So they react. And you shall be driven back by the side of what you see. Verse 35, the Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom he shall set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stones. And if you don't think we're not already involved with that, then you don't know anything about the UN and our country. We're basically passed off in regards to the laws of the UN in many cases. I remember the soldier way back when, a decade or so ago, when they started really enforcing the UN policies in regards to our country, and saying, hey, wait a second, my oath was not for the UN, it's for the Constitution. They shut that kid up. He was a private, I don't remember his name. I remember him being in the paper, and the media gave him a little splash of notoriety. And that was it. Verse 37, you shall become a whore, a proverb, a taunt among all the people where the Lord will drive you. Satan. That's what some people call us. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you shall gather in little. Your return on investment will be at a loss, for the locust will consume it. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall devour them. These are all aspects in regards to God just jamming them directly within their own ranks, within their own confines, not by others. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives will drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and produce of your ground. The alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you shall go down lower and lower. Does it make a difference whether you're a criminal immigrant? We'll legalize you.
No worry. And we'll call it Reformation. See? Okay? That's fine. I'm nothing against them. Let them have the blessing that can get off the evil that goes on. It's what you get. We'll see. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and he shall be the tail. So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and the statutes which he commanded you. And they shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever. All these things that we see occur around us in regards to our world today and our society, it's a sign. It's an indication. God is pointing to something greater. And that is the judgment, the coming judgment that ultimately will befall this country as prophesied in the Scripture. And the evil, obviously, that pre-exists to bring about this judgment. Because you not serve the Lord your God, verse 47, with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things, and he'll put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. The very terrorist cells that basically we say we're at war with, countries that sponsor are the ones that provide most of us with our oil. And we pay them so they can support their terrorist groups. See? And what do our great leaders do? Oh, you need to cut down the production here in our country. It's all the great merchants. They're the ones that underline all this, see? As we know the doctrine. Verse 48, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord shall send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things. And he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. You will not get out of it. When God determines to bring his judgment and discipline upon a nation or a people, there's no way to avoid it. You can't hide from it. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you will not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, who shall have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. Like when we were dealing with Jonah and the Assyrians. that's fierce countenance, those people were. People want to make their rules about war. They would have never lasted in the old days. People would have spit them out and laughed. Oh, but we're civilized and sophisticated now. Right. You're just repackaging evil in a whole other package. That's all it is. Verse 51, moreover, shall eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed. Who also leaves you no grain, new wine or oil, nor the increase of your herd or the young of your flock until they have caused you to perish. And shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls, which you trusted, come down throughout your land. And shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land, which the Lord your God has given you, to cut off all oil supply, etc. It's a type of economic sieging. See, we have a practice of doing that with other nations, cut off their money supply. Then you shall eat the offspring of your own body, of the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you during the siege and the stress by which your enemies shall oppress you. As they lay siege around cities, and people will resort to cannibalism just to survive. The man who is refined and very delicate among you shall be hostile toward his brother, and toward the wife he cherishes, and toward the rest of his children who remain. So they will not give even one of them any of the flesh of his children, which he shall eat. Since he has nothing else left during the siege and the stress by which your enemies shall oppress you in all your towns. I'm always glad I wait till after Bible class to eat supper. 56. The refined and delicate woman among you,
who would not venture to set the sober foot on the ground for delicateness and refinement, the socialite. Shall be hostile toward the husband she cherishes and toward her son and her daughter, and toward her afterbirth, which issues from between her legs, and toward her children whom she bears, for she shall eat them secretly for lack of anything else. During the siege and distress by which your enemy shall oppress you in your towns. And I guarantee you these things have occurred in regards to Israel over their history. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues, and miserable and chronic sickness. And he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also every sickness and every plague, which, not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed. So this is just a highlight. It's not all inclusive, the warning. And obviously, if this doesn't get your attention, then nothing else is probably going to help. No further in-depth information is going to change anybody's mind otherwise. Verse 61, also every sickness and every plague, which not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed. Then you shall be left few in number, whereas you are were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you do not obey the Lord your God. And it shall come about that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you for your original obedience and aligning up to doctrine, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you. Don't think God's up there wringing his hands because he's bringing judgment on you rather than blessing. He gets ultimate satisfaction either direction. That's because his perfect righteous judgment, justice, is being expressed towards the individual. His righteousness is constantly, always being satiated. Whether it's a form of cursing or whether it's a form of blessing in regards to his judgment upon things. So that, therefore, he delights one way or the other. See? Make your tree good, make your tree bad. Either way, God's going to delight. you shall be torn from the land where you are entering to possess it. In verse 64, the ultimate aspect of discipline is national dispersion. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you or your fathers have not known. You want to be like your negative counterpart nations? Fine, you can go live with them and do what they do. See, is the idea. There you are. There you are as a parent. There's an idea to your children. Good, you want to hang out with the cosmos and be like with them, and then go live with them. Obviously, you're of age to do so. Can't do that when they're six. Wait till they're 8 or 9. Just kidding. 18 or 19. That's what I meant to say, yeah. And these nations, verse 65, you shall, and among these nations, you shall find no rest. And this has been true with the Jews. They're constantly pursued and persecuted. They get a little time in history, certain sects of them. Maybe they get a little break, and people are not anti-Semitic towards them, but overall, their history has been constantly spotted with persecution in other lands when they've been kicked out of the land otherwise. And there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot, continuing verse 65. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and shall be in dread night and day, and shall have no assurance of your life. That's because your true confidence you have rejected. That's the hope in Bible doctrine. In the morning you shall say, would that it were evening. And in the evening you would say, would that it were morning. Because of the dread in your heart which you dread, and for the sight of your eyes which you shall see. And obviously for us in our existence of time, the Holocaust is the nearest thing that you can picture the Jews and this occurring within them. you want to ever watch a really good war series that kind of centers on the Jews in Germany at this time, watch The Winds of War. It's a series that came out 10, 15 years ago. I generally will watch it like once a year. It's just cool. It gives you a good insight. Because of the dread of your heart, which you dread, verse 67, for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. 68, the Lord will bring you back to Egypt in ships, by the way about which I spoke to you. You shall never see it again. There you shall offer yourself for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. They'll look down upon with much such condescension by others that they'll be considered to be the lowest forms of life on earth as human beings, exactly as many of people have considered them over the years. All right, one here in regards to Deuteronomy 28. One, positive volition brings blessing. That was verses 1 through 14. Two, negative volition brings cursing. And it's all, whether positive or negative, is evidence in their attitude towards doctrine, willing to line up to it or not. That's verses 15 through 68. Three, Israel's ups and downs as a race is a history of their attitude towards Bible doctrine. Their history is not over with, by the way. They've had their ups and downs. Their history's been spotty in regards to alignment to God. But there will come a time, and you'll see why God picked them as His chosen people, truly, as a remnant upon a positive volition will come from this nation and carry it into the thousand-year millennium period. Positive volition from a people that like never been experienced in history before. So there are ups and downs as a race is the history of the attitude towards Bible doctrine. Deuteronomy 31 through 10 summarizes that for us in that regards. So it shall be when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations, where the Lord your God has banished you as they are dispersed, and you return the Lord your God and obey Him with all your heart and make reversion recovery. And so, according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, and the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you, and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. So as people, basically the choice is yours. And God is willing to work with you. See? You want to go negative? You want to be disobedient? Well, you're going to come under His judgment. But if you're willing to go back on positive volition and line back up, God will be right there waiting for you. And we'll bring that about for you on your behalf. That's His grace. That's His compassion. That's His love for us. See? He'll restore you from captivity, national dispersion, and restore them back to the land. The northern kingdom was dispersed 721 B.C. The southern kingdom 586 B.C. And they were put back into the land. And then they had their big dispersion. Ultimate dispersion in 70 A.D., where they're scattered among all the nations of all the world. Now they're back in the land, and that means something. When the Jews are in the land, that means something. It always does. In the Lord your God, verse 2, and you return to the Lord your God, they obey Him with all your heart and soul, according to all that I command you today, you and your sons. Not this half-hearted, I'm sorry, I'll give it a better shot this time. Now, He expects obedience from your heart and soul. See, according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If you're outcast or at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there He will bring you back. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, denoting isolation of the SCA. Circumcision pictures that. The worthless flesh. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul in order that you may live. And the Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, the Anti-Semites, who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the Lord and observe all his commandments which I commanded you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, and all the offspring of your cattle, and the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of this law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul.
So their attitude towards doctrine is that which decides whether they come under blessing or cursing by God. And then also 32. Verses 1 through 43. We are dealing with Israel on a national level. Obviously, we can take these and break these down in regards to God dealing with us on a personal level. And his church as a nation, if you will. Deuteronomy 32:1. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak. Song of Moses. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, and the droplets of the fresh grass, and as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice, righteous and upright is he. They have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of their defect, even though fleshly they are racial Jews. But spiritually, they abandon God, but are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not he your Father who has brought you? He has made you and established you. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your Father and he will inform you. Your elders and they will tell you. Anyone that remembers back when? When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance. When he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the people, which occurred at Tower of Babel, according to the number of the sons of Israel, for the Lord's portion in his people, Jacob's allotment of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the howling wastes of the wilderness. He encircled him, he cared for him, he guarded him as a pupil of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young. He spread his wings and caught them, he carried them on his pinions. The Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride in the high places of the earth. He ate the produce of the field, and he made him suck honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, curds of cows and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams, the breed of Bashan, and goats, with the finest of the wheat, and the blood of grapes, he drank wine. There God dealing with Jacob in regards to his promise, in regards to the land, and how he protects his positive volition. Let's summarize. Verse 15, that Jeshurun, Israel, grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick, and sleek. And he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. They made him jealous, made him, God, jealous with stranger gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, new improved religion. Whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you. And forgot the God who gave you birth. And the Lord saw this and spirited them because of the provocation of the sons and daughters. Then he said, I will hide my face from them and I will see what their end shall be because of their attitude towards doctrine and the negative. For they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. Can't depend upon them, doctrinally speaking, for anything. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And that's a prophecy in regards to the church. give his administration to a bunch of Gentile idiots over a period of 2,000 years. The Gentiles, the very thing that they love to set themselves apart from. I'm going to give the administration then because you're negative volition. See? What goes around comes around. You want to hack God off, he may return the favor. For a fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest part of shale and consumes the earth with its yield and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains as the fire is manifest in these areas.
I will heap misfortunes on them. I will use my arrows on them. They shall be wasted by famine and consumed by plague. Again, the curses that will come upon them. And bitter destruction, the teeth of beasts I will send upon them. That with the venom of crawling things of the dust, outside the sword shall bereave, and inside terror. Both young man and virgin, the nursing with the man of gray hair, nursing with the man of gray hair, whether you're younger or old, male or female. I would have said, I will cut them to pieces. I remove the memory of them from men, had I not feared the provocation by the enemy, lest their adversaries should misjudge, that they should say our hand is triumphant. The Lord has not done all this.
In other words, he's expressing his anger so much that they ought to just be wiped out from memory. But this is my plan. And I'm not going to let the arrogance of the Gentile nation think that my plan is defunct otherwise. See? For they are a nation lacking in counsel. That's them in reversionism. There is no understanding in them. Their disobedience and rejection of doctrine. Would that they were wise if they understood this. That they would discern their future. The people get wrapped up in their STAs and they don't think about their future before God. They tend to keep God out of the picture. How could one chase 1,000, put 10,000 to flight unless a rock had sold them? And the Lord had given them up. Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this. Christianity is recognized as a religion par excellence, even among other nations. It has been over history. The notoriety that it has enjoyed, etc. Even though people still reject it for their own. Verse 32, for their vine is from the vine in Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison, their clusters bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents, the deadly poison of cobras. Is it not laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasures? Vengeance is mine and retribution. In due time their foot will slip, for the day of their calamity is near. Impending things are hastening and bombed in. When they're not expecting it, that's when it happens. For the Lord will vindicate his people, will have compassion on his servants. And he sees that their strength is gone, there's none remaining bond or free. And he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they sought refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices, drank the wine of their libation? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your hiding place. See now that I am he. There is no God besides me. And it is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. Indeed, I lift up my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I sharpen my flashing sword, my hand takes hold on justice. I will render vengeance on my adversaries, and I will repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh. With the blood of the slain and the captives, for the long-haired leaders of the enemy, rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. That's those who are positive. And will render vengeance on his adversaries, and will atone for his land and his people. Those who are positive, those who line up with doctrine otherwise. So that summarizes basically their attitude on doctrine is what determines their blessing or their cursing. And then the issue itself is simply stated in Deuteronomy 30:11-20 and 32:44-47, which I'll let you read that on your own. We'll pick this up next class. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit can you enlighten us to see things in Jesus' name. Amen.